The 100 Years' War, the Du Guesclin period, the French raid on England, June of 1377. Now, Richard II came to the throne of England in the middle of one of the gravest military crises of the Hundred Years' War. On June the 29th, 1377, the French and Castilian admirals landed at dawn beneath the ruins of Winchelsea. The invaders beached their ships and made their way in the early light along the marshy estuary of the Rother to fall on Rye. Rye was vulnerable, as those who remember the French raid of 1339 knew. It was a small river port, which then stood about a mile inland on a low cliff above the river estuary, gnawed by the tides on the eastern side. The municipality had levied money to build a circuit of walls, but the defenses were still incomplete when the French returned. The inhabitants at first resisted with ferocity, but after the first assault, in which many of them were killed, the rest fled into the country around or surrendered to the invaders. The French admiral, Jean Vienne, occupied the town. He sent most of his army back to the ships to continue their cruise westward towards Hastings. He himself planned to dig his force in at Rye and use it as a base for wasting the surrounding region. He expected to be able to hold his own for a good 10 days before the English succeeded in concentrating their forces against him. He would then withdraw and repeat the operation elsewhere. In fact, he lasted less than 2 days. The English system depended on having men armed and ready in their homes to be called out for a swift counterattack before the invaders had secured themselves on shore. In this, at least, it was moderately successful. The local commissioner of array was Hamo of Offington, the abbot of Battle, a prominent figure in the country beneath, whose monkish habits, say contemporaries, was a soldier of mark and a stout defender of home, neighbors, and coast. On the day after the landing, Hamo occupied Winchelsea. The town, which had been abandoned since the French raid of 1360, stood directly above the beached galleys and barges of the French fleet. Faced with a threat to his ships and his line of retreat, Jean de Vienne immediately moved against Winchelsea. His first step was to parley with the abbot. When this got him nowhere, he launched a full-scale attack on the defenders' positions. The departure of most of his force and the need to use others to guard the ships appears to have left him insufficient manpower for this operation. After several hours of fighting, his men were forced to retreat. That evening, Jean de Vienne ordered his men to withdraw to their ships. The decision was not popular with some of his companions, but the French coastal raiders tended to be nervous at being stranded in enemy territory. In the early evening of June the 30th, the French systematically set fire to Rye, reducing the town to ashes. They then took 42 casks of wine and their richest captives and sailed away. The price that the English had to pay for Hamo's success at Winchelsea was the destruction of Hastings. While the battle was being fought at Winchelsea, the other detachment of Jean de Vienne's army landed outside the town. Hastings was a much decayed community. Its great days as one of the leading members of the Cinque Ports was long since past. Its harbors were almost entirely silted up, and its trade had been lost to rivals. Like Winchelsea and Rye, it was unwalled. The inhabitants fled inland as the French raiders approached. The French and Castilians were able to burn the town down without resistance. During the next few days, the two squadrons of enemy fleets were united, and the Army of the Sea carried out a third landing at Rottingdean, just east of what was then an insignificant village of Brighton. The defense here was supposed to be responsibility of Richard Fitzlan, the young Earl of Arundel, who was the leading magnate of Sussex, a commissioner of array and the owner of the principal castle of the district of Lewes. But Lewes was undefended and its castle in disrepair. The Earl was away, engrossed in the preparations for the forthcoming coronation at Westminster. In his absence, the defense of the district was taken in hand by another martial cleric, John of Charlieu, prior of Lewes. That this role should fall to him was ironic, for John was probably by birth a Frenchman, and some of his personal retinue certainly were. He was assisted by two experienced English knights, Sir John Falsley, the retainer of the Earl of Arundel, and Sir Thomas Cheyne, famous as one of the men who captured Bertrand de Guesclin at Najara. They tried to stop the French on the beaches, but they arrived too late with only 500 men and walked straight into an ambush. 100 of the English force lost their lives in the ensuing battle, and all three captains were taken prisoner. The prior remained in captivity in France for a year before being released after a ransom of 7,000 nobles, or 4,666 pounds, thereby saddling Lewes Priory with a liability which would cripple it for a generation. The French then marched inland as far as Lewes, which they entered without difficulty, and burned before retreating to the coast to leave by the next tide. So, quite a stunning position here, considering we really haven't got a crowned king, and we have the French Navy on their doorsteps. Now, the sources for this, the Hundred Years' War, the Chronicles by Froissart, the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, the Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and the Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.